All right, we're going to go ahead and get started here with our post NASCAR Xfinity Series race here with our winner, Justin Allgaier, driver of the number 7 Chevrolet for JRM. Justin, I don't really know where to start, but we'll start
either.
With those final few laps there. You've been in this situation several times. You've been on the what would be considered maybe the good side of knowing you were going to advance to Phoenix, on the side of leaving here, not advancing to Phoenix. Obviously, those last couple laps were a little bit wild and crazy, but take us through from your vantage point of kind of staying in the game and then finally being able to cross that finish line in the lead.
Listen, I hated this format when the red flag came out because I was pretty sure we were out. There was no way. I didn't see a clear path to making it in. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, this team, everybody at Junior Motorsports, Jim Pullman, Eddie DeHaan, everybody that is a part of this Hellman's Camaro team, I can't even begin to describe tonight. You know, the effort on the radio, those guys trying to keep me in the game. You know, me being frustrated, I think as good of a season as we've had and to be in the position that we've been in. I mean, Jim called a Hail Mary on a pit strategy, and he said, look, bro, I know this isn't what you want to do, but he said, this is what we had to do. And when we started falling back, I'm like, man, you know, I don't know what to expect. But that last restart, I mean, heck, I thought I crashed myself on the front straightaway coming to the white. I didn't even realize John Herndon was outside of me the way that he was. And I about put myself in the wall. That's a good sound, by the way, right there, that clock dinging. Not sure that I'll agree with that at 3 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, just what an unbelievable night. And then, listen, Sheldon, Austin, John Hunter, Sammy Smith. I mean, Sammy Smith did an amazing job today and did all the right things. You know, it just, the way the race played out at the end there, it was wild. I locked my elbows off at turn four, and I thought, well, we're either going to win this thing or I'm probably going to end up upside down. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was hoping that maybe, I knew Sheldon was going to stay in the gas. At the point of how he entered turn three, I knew he was going to be in the gas. So my only shot at that point was to maybe get turned across in front of him. But what an incredible evening. And my little girl, I got my phone out right now. My little girl is playing for a championship in softball. She got a home run tonight, and they're leading 19-1. I feel like that's pretty good. They got to finish. They got two outs in the bottom of the inning. But what a day for the Allgaier clan. It's truly been special, and this is a team win. Cause trust me, Justin Allgaier was not the guy that won the race tonight. The guys behind me were the ones that won it. So really proud of the team effort that we put in.
All right, we're going to go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll start here in the back in the Under Armour hat.
Nathan Song with a podium finish. Justin, when you crossed the line there, did you think you had it right away, or did it kind of take a minute for you to realize that you had won the race?
I thought I had it. And then obviously there's carnage on the front straightaway, and I'm glad I came around. I don't know. At that point, I didn't know what to expect, so I kind of weaved my way through there. But, you know, the first question was, is everybody all right? Right? You know, that was a heck of a hit for some folks on the front straightaway. And then they told me to stop, and they're like, hey, we don't know who won. So then, you know, like, that's twice now this year I've second-guessed whether we came across the line as the winner or not. And so they said, don't move. Not an ideal situation, I'm going to be honest with you. But when they finally gave me the all clear and Dave Burns gave me the thumbs up and said we'd actually won, what an incredible emotion that went through. It truly was special. And, you know, you never know. In the way that these races play out, and I mean, shoot, we still got to go through tech, right? Anything can and will happen. We're good? Hey, we won a race. All right. You know, listen. This is 23, I think. 22. Came with 23. I've never left a win, and I sit back and it's surreal. It's surreal to be in the situation that we're in. It's surreal to have the team behind me that I do. It's truly incredible, and I'm blessed to even be here doing this and proving that we still got a little bit of fight in this, and we got a lot of momentum on our side. Excuse me, we had a great qualifying effort yesterday. We had a great practice, and we executed tonight. And even when all the chips were on the table and you thought that it wasn't your day, that last card was the card we needed. And you know, it just It's really special.
And to your point a minute ago, you're below the cut line for most of this race. So did you feel like you had a car capable enough of not just transferring, but winning the race?
Yes, especially early on. As the sun started to set, you know, our balance kind of went away from us a little bit, and I was nervous. You know, you never know what to expect. And listen, when you come down to the end of these races, and it's a green light checkered especially, all bets are off. All the cards are out there. You don't know what to expect. But I'm proud of this team. I mean, Eddie DeHaan, Jim Pullman, they both were on me lap after lap. You know, Eddie kept saying, "This is war. You got to go after it. You got to be more aggressive," because he knows that I'm not. Like, that's just not my trait, right? I'm not going to drive through the bumper of somebody to try to win a race. Tonight, honestly, was really odd. I mean, the seas just parted and it worked out. But when I walked out of here tonight, whether we made it or we didn't, I knew that I gave 100%. And I was comfortable with who I was as a person and how I raced when I walked out of here. And it's all I can ask for.
All right, we're going to go to Davey Siegel in the back.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. Justin, was that probably the craziest, most chaotic race that you think you've ever been a part of?
Yeah. There's not a lot of other ones that come to mind, I'll be honest with you. There's been a lot of crazy finishes, especially a lot of crazy finishes here. And when I look at Martinsville, I'm a little disappointed that it comes down to a crash, right? Because this racetrack is such a cool place, and the racing tonight was, I mean, gloves were off. Everybody was going for broke. You know, the rubber being down, the temperature. I cannot overstate enough how much fun tonight was, even when it wasn't going the way you wanted it to go, with the rubber being laid down and the lack of grip. I mean, we were all sliding around all night long. At the brake, I think I burned the brakes off of it about halfway through. I had to start moving my brake levers and trying to just figure out how to finish the race. And you know, what a way to finish a race. So, you know, you're definitely chaotic. Listen, they work in your favor sometimes, and sometimes they don't. I was so frustrated at the restarts tonight, because if I took the top jammed up. If I took the bottom jammed up. It just never seemed like I could make the right choice. And again, Eddie and Jim both were on me. Like, we got to keep fighting. We got to keep going. And it worked out in our favor, and we got a shot at a championship at a racetrack that we're phenomenal at. I'm excited about next week. It got a lot busier. Let me be honest with you. This week, I'm sorry, Campbell. I'm sorry. But this week got a lot busier. But, you know, it's worth it, and it's going to be a blast.
To your point, Jim and Eddie on the radio were egging you on a little bit to not be afraid to use the bumper, be aggressive if you had to, maybe a little bit more aggressive than you're used to and you're accustomed to being. How comfortable were you in a situation like that, kind of quote-unquote doing what you had to do to make it?
I wasn't, but they know that. And that's their way of firing me up and getting me going. Listen, you know, I had a great relationship with Jason Burdette for a lot of years, and he was the exact same as Jim has been this year in firing me up and getting me going. Eddie DeHaan has been a main staple in my career for the last number of years. He knows when I'm down. He knows when I'm up. He knows when he's got to rein me in, and he knows when he's got to push me. And tonight, he knew when to push. Listen, you know, these guys don't get enough credit. I get to be the guy that holds the steering wheel, but these guys don't get enough credit for what it takes to come here and to be successful and to win these races. And it feels great, man. There is not a cooler feeling than standing on that stage in Victory Lane and having everybody around you that you know is part of your success. It means a lot.
All right, we're going to come up front to Bob.
Bob Pockrass, Fox Sports, I have two. The first is, can you describe this win in one word, and if so, what is it?
One word? Relieving. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I've wanted to win at this place a long time. There's so much pressure and stress on this race, right? Spring race is great because there's no pressure. There's no stress. Like, you just go for a win. Fall race, there's a lot, you know, and I envied Sam Merrill all week for coming in here and being locked in. Like, I envied that. But relieving, knowing that we got two Junior Motorsports Camaros going for a shot at a championship next week, I can't even begin to describe what this means.
As you can imagine, Austin Hill wasn't too happy with Sheldon. I'm curious from what you saw. Did you see anything that was incredibly, you know, egregious when you're trying to make it to the Final Four, Championship Four?
Listen, I have a lot of respect for both of those guys. Obviously, both Chevrolet teammates. They both put they both were driving for everything they had. I mean, I saw Austin push John Hunter up at one point. Sheldon got me at one point. You know, but I think that shows you what an opportunity for a championship means next week, right? Those guys are two of the most respectful race car drivers on the racetrack, and to go to blows like that as even as teammates, it just shows you how important these moments are. You know, Sheldon's obviously not coming back to RCR next year, but he's going to be equally as tough next year wherever he ends up. Austin's gonna be great next week at Phoenix. He's liable to win the race, right? So, you know, I hoped it would happen. You know, secretly, you're like, man, if these two run into each other, this is gonna be great. But they're probably not gonna. And then they did. And then, like, I had this moment of like, what do I do, right? Because if they crash and I run right into them, I'm gonna look like an idiot, right? But then they kind of moved up the racetrack, and I'm like, I'm gonna force it in there. And then Sheldon just hung a left, and he was like, I'm going to try to keep it, you know? And I'm like, man, I don't know if this is going to work out, but I'm just going to hold my hand straight and keep the throttle down. And obviously, it could have gone either way. I mean, you look at the photo finish of at Victory Lane. I mean, it could have gone either way. But, you know, I don't think either one of them two will walk out of here not knowing that they didn't give it their all, no different than I am. And you know, the highest of highs and lowest of lows is what the sport's really, really all about.
All right, we're going to go to Matt Weaver. And then I believe I had a question here in the middle. Go ahead, Matt.
Matt Weaver, SportsNot. You said you can't remember a crazier win or a celebration you've been a part of. ARCA Toledo 08, is that kind of similar?
I actually, it's funny. So Jim Pullman's wife, Jackie, we stopped on the way coming in here, and she said she had this like, man, this could work out like Toledo did for the ARCA championship. She's like, but it'll never happen. She's like, sure enough, same kind of thing happened. What's really funny now is, you know, I have a great relationship with Scott Speed and Ricky Stenhouse both. I train with Scott Speed and Josh Wise every day when we're at home. You know, they've done a great job of preparing me for these moments, and it's so ironic that has kind of bled over into so many points in my career. You know, that championship, those guys have no idea the defining moment it was for me as a person and what it was for my mom and dad as owners of a race team. I mean, my mom and dad are here tonight sitting back towards the back there. And I can tell you that there's nothing cooler than having them be a part of this. My wife was here. She literally, my daughter won the softball tournament, by the way. They were the champions. But she left there because she knew how monumental tonight was, and she drove over here to be with me. And I just – that moment was a defining moment in my career. Tonight, whether people realize it or not, this is a defining race for me. Like, every one of these victories has meant something different, and I'll cherish every one of them.
And then you've kind of been on both sides of the current playoff format, disappointment, celebration, and you might be too close to it now to really be able to separate it, but is there a part of you that recognizes when you're standing in turn one, celebrating with the crowd and the fans, how important or special it is for the fans and generating interest and excitement for years to come?
So I'm going to try to pull up this picture right here, if I can get it. I set this photo as my lock screen last year after Phoenix. I probably should have favorited it so that it would have been a little easier to find it. But I set this photo of Dale Jr. and I standing in Phoenix. He gave me a big hug, and I'm pretty sure I was bawling my eyes out, right? Not because of anything other than, I don't know if y'all can see this or not. This picture is Dale Jr. Hugging me around the neck, right? And I set that picture as my lock screen because I knew when we left Phoenix that I didn't have anything left. I mean, I did everything I knew how to do, and it didn't equate into a championship. And I've been here, and I've had these moments of like, you don't have that opportunity to go on to Phoenix. I've been at Phoenix, and I've had defeat. I've had a lot more defeat than joy in this playoff format for sure. But I there is not a moment as a racer that it doesn't make you stronger. It doesn't give you a reason to keep coming back to the racetrack. I mean, listen, if we won every week, if everything in life was easy, it'd be really hard to get excited about doing anything. And I think that that's what makes this format so difficult, but also so exhilarating and fruitful whenever you do win, is because, like tonight, I'm walking out of here 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I might still be 5'5", but I'm walking out of here a little taller than I was, right? But Sammy, Austin, Sheldon, they're walking out of here defeated, right? But I can promise you that when the offseason starts, that's their motivation. Now I have to find what motivates me to do the next one, and I think that that's really what it comes down to. How you motivate yourself, and you can let it eat you inside, or you can let it be the fuel that you need to go to the next one. And for me, this momentum is fuel, but the defeat would have equally been as much fuel to be better next year.
All right, we had to quit. There you go.
Trey Lyle, frontstretch.com. First question for you, Justin. Is the Yoo-hoo thing with you and Josh Williams, like, were you expecting that? Are you a big Yoo-hoo fan? Is that just
the
drink he had?
I don't know if you guys know Josh Williams the way I know Josh Williams, right? Truly one of the most awesome people in this garage area. And when I've had really good days, like tonight, he's out there with a Yoo-hoo, right? And I don't know where the Yoo-hoo thing came from. He brought me one at Bristol. He's I think Daytona, he cracked a Yoo-hoo with me, right? Like, those are special moments. But on the flip side of it, the guy has, in my darkest moments of the races, he's been the same guy that's texted me or saw me at the racetrack and put his arm around me. Or we didn't grow up as friends. We battle each other on the racetrack week in, week out. And for a guy to be that guy, you can't ask for better people than that. And he's truly somebody that I'm really proud of, a good friend, somebody that I'm proud to call a friend. And I hope, you know, for his sake, I hope he gets the opportunity someday to really show how good of a race car driver he is too. Because I know he's truly an incredible race car driver as well, and doesn't always necessarily – I mean, not that he's in bad equipment, but just doesn't necessarily always have the opportunity to show it like we all know him as. And I hope someday he gets that really good opportunity.
And obviously, this was your 23rd win in the Xfinity Series. If you obviously win the championship by winning the race next week, you would tie Dale Jr. for career wins in the Xfinity Series. So if you get both those done next week, what would that mean for you, and then like the relationship you have with him?
Listen, Dale Jr. is Dale Jr. I mean, the guy is truly incredible. He's an icon of our sport, and to even be in the same conversation is wild to me. I mean, I remember growing up racing and watching, you know, back then Busch races on TV and seeing Dale Jr. win races, right? The Ace Delco car and being successful. And I remember watching, you know, him win cup races. And, you know, I was a Dale Sr. fan. So, you know, obviously I became a Dale Jr. fan. To see the success that Dale's had pales in comparison to just the person that he is. And the reason why people love Dale is not because of his success on the racetrack, it's because of who Dale is as a person and down to earth and just being a great guy. And I think for me, that's where I'm blown away that I'm even close. Even if I were to win and win the championship and be tied with him, it still pales in comparison. But man, it would be cool. And you know, just seeing him on in Victory Lane tonight, you know, he's genuinely happy that this company is succeeding. And listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I loved winning Bristol, but I would have equally have been as happy to run second to Dale Jr. And I thought I was going to for a while. But I think when you're around Dale and you see his invigoration or his passion for the sport, it invigorates you to be better. And to even be in that category is pretty wild and pretty special.
All right, we'll take our final question up front here with Lee.
To kind of follow up on that, Lee Spencer from Catch Fence, he came in here and he knows that your opportunities are limited to win a championship. And he's been down that path, right? I mean, you know, he had some pretty sporty teammates back in his day, too. And, you know, the cup title eluded him, but he gets it. You know, he knows that, you know, this might be one of those chances. And he talked about taking off work next week just so he can, you know, be there to support his drivers. And, I mean, does it get any better than that to know that your owner is, like, all in and wants this probably as bad for you as you want it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just shows why he is Dale Jr. and the icon of the sport. I mean, when it's all said and done, if the race team were to close tomorrow, he's still going to be Dale Jr. He's still going to be successful. He's still going to be that guy. What is wild to me is that he wants it as bad as we do. He wants it as bad for us as we do. Last year, like I said, that picture still haunts me, to be honest with you, because I equally as much wanted it for him and for every man and woman that works at Junior Motorsports. I watched guys from other teams in our shop this week that have races to win, that have all the, you know, things going for them. They were down working on the 7 car to try to help make sure that we got our car together to make sure that we had the best shot that we could at coming to Martinsville and win. This race team embodies Dale's spirit, and he feeds off of that as much as we feed off of him. And listen, there would be nothing better that I can imagine is to bring a championship home for him and Kelly, right? And LW. I mean, Joe Mattis, I mean, Joe's final year at Junior Motorsports. I mean, there's so many things that would make this year great. I got to beat my teammate. And Sam is going to be fantastic next week at Phoenix. No question. I got to beat 2 other drivers that are going to be fantastic next week at Phoenix. You know, all that being said, there's a good reason why we all want it that bad, and it starts from the top, and it works its way all the way to the bottom. And really, you know, again, I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have. I'm 37 years old. I don't know who the next one youngest is close to me, but it's probably got to be early 30s. Josh might even be the oldest next one. I think he's like 32, right? So it's pretty wild. So, you know, I don't know how many more I'll have. I've had great partners. You know, Hellman's here, Brandt. I mean, Rick Brandt climbed the fence with me at Bristol, and, you know, to see that emotion out of somebody that's a partner on a race car, you know, there's no words for it. And you never know when it's the last race. I can walk out of here tonight and never race again. I cherish every one of them. Plain and simple.
All right, Justin, congratulations again. Enjoy this week. We look forward to seeing you on Thursday in Phoenix, speaking of that busier week that you have. And best of luck next week in Phoenix as well. Thank you.